Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport. It's a very long purport, and time is very short. So let's see how we go. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained the perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such illusionary way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of Lord Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotee can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Sukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord by offenseless chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord. One can become acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord and then with the attributes of the Lord and then the transcendental nature and His pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from the authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential hearing. First essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about His form, about His attributes, His pastimes, and so on. And thus, the necessity of chanting the glories of necessity of chanting the glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Sukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need for further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive student in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in the achievement of, in the achievements as fruity workers, as philosophers, and as devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be done loudly, and it should be performed offensively as well as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself of all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of His holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in numbers. Om Ajnana Tvindandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshun Smritam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I did not continue the rest of the purport because it's very simple. Is that the continuation till the end of this purport, Prabhupada is explaining about the 10 offenses against the holy name. Now, most of us should be very much familiar with this. And if we are not, then I think we are in a very sorry state of affairs. But one of the first and foremost things which we should learn is the 10 offenses against the holy name. Even before we start chanting the holy name of the Lord. Because when we start chanting of the holy name of the Lord, as mentioned here in the purport by Sukadeva Goswami, and in citing previous acharyas, that if we commit an offense against the Supreme Lord Himself, that can be forgiven simply by taking the shelter of the holy name. But if one commits an offense against the holy name, then there is no forgiveness. So, here Jiva Goswami is citing that the 10 offenses against the holy name of the Lord, which are mentioned in the Padma Purana, should be very carefully adhered to. And if we follow those 10 offenses without committing them, then we can chant the holy name without any aparads or any offenses against the holy name. Now, in the verse itself, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that whatever you want, whether you are after some material desires or you just want to have some spiritual satisfaction, or you are a devotee who actually understands the conclusion, whichever category we belong to, we should take shelter of the holy name and chant the holy name of the Lord. Unless and until we take shelter of the holy name, we will never get fulfillment of anything. So here even it is said that if you are even desirous of material these things, still if you don't chant the holy names, you will not get what you want. Of course, on the other hand, there is a statement in the Shastra which says that all of us who have taken birth as a human being have assimilated some sort of karma, good or bad, pious or impious deeds in the previous lives. And according to that, we'll be accredited either good benefits or bad benefits. In other words, happiness or suffering will be credited to us regardless, whether we endeavor for it or we don't endeavor for it. It is going to come your way. But one who actually comes to a platform of understanding, as mentioned in the Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra, Athato Brahma Jignasha, that when we come to this platform of inquiring why I am here, what is my purpose to be here, what is my relationship with the cosmos, what is my relationship with the Supreme, at that stage you are considered learned. And not just learned, but then you are considered a human being. Prabhupada says, unless until you come to that platform, then you are just a polished animal. Although we are so proud of our human body and human intelligence, we think that we are now at the highest peak of the pyramid. We are the top and everybody else is at the bottom. And because we are the top, we think we are the controllers. And this illusion is pervading all over the universe. We are all thinking we are controllers. And we try to control everything, as Prabhupada has coined the phrase, loading it over material energy. So we are trying to load it over everything and anything we can feel like. But when we are trying to loading over this material world, we find we are very, very unsuccessful. Because you can never control anything. The supreme controller is the Supreme Lord. That is why he's called the supreme controller, because he controls everything. But we are under illusion thinking we are under control. And therefore we have a lot of difficulties in living our lives satisfactorily. Every one of us are having many difficulties in trying to live a very satisfactory life. And this is because we are under illusion and thinking that I want to acquire all the different facilities that will make me happy and satisfied. So we are from the very beginning of our entrance into this material world, we begin our pursuit to find that elusive happiness. And we go here, then everywhere looking for this happiness, thinking we'll find happiness in so many different ways. Now in the scriptures it is explained that, especially Bhagavad Gita explains, that we are parts and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, we have the same qualitativeness as the Supreme Lord. Only difference is that we are a minute quantity. And the Supreme Lord is in full quantities. So, in other words, he's not limited to any quantity. But you and I, we are limited. So another example of understanding this analogy is if you take a drop of water from the ocean, qualitatively, a drop of ocean is same as the ocean, the water in the ocean. But you cannot call a drop of water an ocean. A drop is just a tiny thing. It's a very small segment. In fact, it is not even considered any importance by itself. But in relation to the ocean, when the drop goes back into the ocean, then it can be very proudly saying, yes, I am part of this vast body of water. So similarly, we are living entities. We are separated from the Supreme Lord. We have the same qualities. And what is that qualities mentioned? Sat, Chit, Ananda, Vigraha. Sat is that we are eternal. Chit is we are full of knowledge. Ananda is we are full of happiness and bliss. And Vigraha is, very important point, we don't forget, we are a form. We have a form. Just on Sunday, I met one person at Rath Yatra. In the beginning of the procession, he came along. And there was one person asking me questions. What is all this all about? So I was explaining that this is about the festival of chariot. And on this day, the Lord, his brother and his sister come out in the streets to bless everyone. And then this other friend of his said, yes, but I don't believe in your philosophy. I believe that we are all God. I said, yes, okay. In what context you say we are God? He said, because we have forgotten our awareness. As soon as we become aware of ourselves, then we become God. So I said, that is okay. That is my body concept. I said, if you are forgetful of your awareness, then where is the question of God? God doesn't become forgetful of his awareness. If God forgets his awareness, then everything ends. Then there must be someone who is superior to God. But if you think you are God, and simply because you have forgotten your awareness, so saying, I am practicing meditation to become aware of myself, and then I'll become God. So this is the concept generally pervading all over the world. And that is why Srila Prabhupada was very much emphasizing this impersonalism, to free ourselves from this impersonalism. That's why Prabhupada's pranam mantra is Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Pakshyata Desa Tarine. That he has come to the Western world to free everyone with this concept. Now I would not just say the Western world, I would say the whole world is practically, you know, revolving around this impersonal concept that we are at some stage, we'll all become gods and merge into the God. But Prabhupada explains very clearly that we can never merge into God. That's because it is said very clearly, Sat, Chit, Ananda, Vigraha. We have a very individual existence. Our existence, however, may be independent or individual, but it is dependent on the Supreme Lord. Our existence without the Supreme Lord has no meaning, because we are sustaining our very existence by the presence of the Supreme Lord. And when we are separated from the Supreme Lord, then even though we are running around in different material bodies in this material world or material universe, you know, namely 8,400,000 species of life forms, thinking I'm very special. You know, in this human body we are thinking I am very special. A little microbe is thinking I am very special, according to its own consciousness. But point is that each one of us is thinking that I am the center of the universe. And this is the falseness. So here, in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that the only way you can actually become self-satisfied, whether they are material pursuits or spiritual pursuits, if you take to the shelter of the holy name, then you will be a happily situated person. Of course, the secret here is that even if you have material pursuits and you start chanting Hare Krishna and praying to God, "Dear Lord, I have come to you for my fulfillment," that's not a problem. The Supreme Lord will be there standing and smiling. "Yes, you have come to the right place." Because the very effect of taking shelter of the Supreme Lord and chanting His holy name is that slowly and gradually we will become free from our illusion. And then we'll actually realize our true position. And our true position, when we come to understand that, is very clearly stated, Chivere Swarupo Hoye Nitya Krishna Das. Eternally we are servants of Krishna. So as soon as we realize this, then what is our business? Just in the material world, you know, by force we are put in a position of a servant. We have to serve. Without serving, you cannot exist. Because if you don't serve, you will not get your provisions. For example, you take a job, you're working for a company, they are paying you. But you're working for the company as a slave, as a servant. As soon as you stop working for the company, the boss will say, "I'm sorry, you're fired." So you're dispensed from your job and you have no income now. Without income, you cannot survive, because this is where the nature of this material world, that, you know, you need money to buy your provisions. Now, of course, if you are in an animal body, you don't have to worry about it. Whether you are a bird or an animal of whichever species, you don't have to go to work. Their business is very simple, as Prabhupada is saying. The four propensities of animal life is eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So you go to sleep at sunset, at sunrise you wake up and you look for food. You find your food, you satisfy your food, then what do? Does the animal think, "Okay, I have satisfied my belly now, let me have now some leisure, let me enjoy and play and find some mode of leisurely activities"? No, they will just sit down and do nothing. And again, evening comes, they'll go back to sleep and the cycle begins. Now, you and I also are doing the same thing. In the evening, come evening, at least intelligent people will go to sleep. Unintelligent people will waste their life going at nightclubs and enjoy all night of sense gratification of drinking, eating, and being merry, so-called. But the point is that when we wake up in the morning, we also do the same thing, look for food. But where do we get our food from? We just can't go and pick it out from anywhere and everywhere. You can't just drive down to the supermarket and saying, "It is my natural propensity. I need food. And you have food. I'll just pick it up and walk out." What happens? You go to the supermarket and fill your trolley with all kind of goodies you want. And if you don't pay for it, what will happen? The security guys will come, arrest you, and imprison you for criminal offense. But have you ever seen any animals being imprisoned for eating food from this field or that field or that field? Even like an animal, for example, if they are by nature non-vegetarians, then they will eat some living entity. Especially I see in our fields here, we have many rabbits running around, and then we have many foxes running around, and those foxes will kill the rabbit and have it for his meal. But I don't see the police come and arresting the fox for murder. But if you and I do that, what happens? We'll be immediately arrested. So the point is that even if we have all these desires, once we come to that understanding that we are actually the servant of the Supreme Lord, then we begin to serve Him in that spirit. And as we're serving the Supreme Lord, then the Supreme Lord will reciprocate with us. See, sometimes when we tell people who have not sort of very deep understanding of the Krishna conscious philosophy, they think, you guys are nuts. Why would I want to be a servant of God? Why I want to be a servant? Why can't I be a master? As I said, that our natural propensity is material world and the illusion. We think we are masters and try to become masters. But in the beauty of Krishna consciousness is, when Krishna says, you become my servant. Now, when Krishna says, you become my servant, he doesn't mean to say, you become my slave. Because the very principle of serving Krishna is not by force, but by our free love. We come lovingly to serve Krishna. That's what Prabhupada is explaining. The devotional service means that we come to serve Krishna out of our love for Him. Now, on the other hand, Krishna is not going to sit there saying, yes, you are serving me, I am the master, I am the enjoyer. No, Krishna says, yatha mam prapayante, that as you are serving me, as you are relating to me, I am also relating to you in equally and equal measures. In fact, it's not even equal measures. Prabhupada explains that when we serve Krishna and love Krishna, the more we serve and love Krishna, Krishna will serve and love us 10 times more. He will even be more eager to serve and love us than we are to serve Him. So, the whole concept is that it's not a one-way relationship. It is a two-way relationship. And when we actually come to this understanding that serving the Lord, then this Lord will obviously will be pleased with our service, then He will reciprocate with us. Now in this purport is mentioned very nicely that when we serve the Lord as a devotee, barring the other categories, because the other categories will also eventually bring you that to the platform of being a devotee of the Lord, because then you'll realize that you are now the servant of the Lord and this is your business to serve the Lord. At any rate, when you come to that platform and realize what is the purpose of a devotee, His business is only how I can make Krishna happy. We don't have to become motivated that in the process I will become happy. Obviously, the phrase which Prabhupada coined, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So we are thinking, I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I'll become happy. But the point is that we should be chanting the holy name for the pleasure of the Lord. We would think, is this my chanting making the Lord happy? Is my service making the Lord happy? But if we do with some motivation, then Krishna says that is also okay, because eventually you will be purified of your misconceptions, then you will come to the platform of understanding pure devotional service, which is Prabhupada explains, unmotivated, unalloyed, uncontaminated and pure. It's free from all these things. It's simply just for the love of Krishna. And if Krishna is pleased with our service, then automatically He will bless us and then He'll reciprocate with us. And the joy will come to us. Because our joy lies in the joy of Krishna. Our happiness lies in the happiness of Krishna. And Prabhupada said many times, if Krishna is happy, you will become happy. But if Krishna is not happy, you will never become happy. So this is the secret to become happy. And then, of course, the further Prabhupada is explaining about the 10 offenses in the holy name. So we won't get into it because we don't have enough time. But the point is that most of us, as I said, should be familiar with this and become so familiar with this that at every point we are chanting the holy name, we are mindful of these offenses. And generally, the first offense, anybody knows what is the first offense? Clear? Okay, Very, very concise and short. Blaspheme the devotees. Of course, but devotees, who are devotees? Those who have dedicated lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. So, when we are chanting the holy name, are we mindful of this? Because by the grace of the Lord and His pure devotee, we are actually in a very privileged position to associate with the devotees. Now, when we are associating with the devotees, then it is our great fortune first to get good association of like-minded people. Second, because they are also serving the Lord, what is our position? Our position is Gopi Vrata Kamalam Dasana Dasanu Anudas, servant of the servant of the smallest servant. But do we actually embrace that principle? Servant of the servant of the servant. Generally, my experience is that the longer you have been in the ashram or as a devotee of Krishna, you get into this illusionary mindset, I am now a senior devotee. And therefore, I should be served by my subordinates. Now, when you look down upon someone, that is no offense. Because the great Vaishnava, what does he think? He thinks, I am the most fallen. And this is given to us by our great acharyas. Especially if you read the, we call it songs, but actually it is the prayers and meditation of these great acharyas like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Their prayers are so powerful, and when you read their prayers, you can really understand the mood of their position. Now, Narottam Das Thakur, he's saying, I am like a worm in the stool. That is my position. But actually, Narottam Das Thakur is not an ordinary personality. He's one of the greatest acharyas, associates of great devotees. Then we have Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One of his songs is saying, I am so unfortunate that I have not developed any love for Radha and Krishna. Simply every day I am drinking poison. Imagine, if Bhaktivinoda Thakur, such a greatest saintly person and fountainhead of our Krishna consciousness movement in the modern age, because without Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we wouldn't be sitting here. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed to the Supreme Lord that I am not in any capacity to take up this message of yours, dear Lord. Please send me someone who can assist me. And of course, then he was blessed by a wonderful Vaishnava devotee who came to him from the spiritual world, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Vimala Prasad. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and he spread the holy names everywhere. And then the fruit of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at least one of the fruit, is his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, who took up this spirit, who took up this challenge, and he brought Krishna consciousness to the whole world. And that is why we are beneficiary of this. And even Prabhupada, I just saw one nice video yesterday that was posted on my Facebook, and in that Prabhupada is saying, I was simply loitering in the streets of New York. I was simply loitering in the streets of New York. And some boys and girls came to me. And then I spoke to them. What my Guru Maharaj has spoken to me. And they were eager to take to Krishna consciousness. And with their help, we're spreading this mission. Prabhupada said, I am spreading this mission. Saying with the help of these young boys and girls, we're spreading the mission's work. Such a humble position.
And then one time Srila Prabhupada, we have to learn from the Acharya, the example is setting. Prabhupada is not thinking, I am the Acharya, I am the purest devotee of the Lord, and therefore all honor and worship should come to me, and I am your teacher. No. Prabhupada one time was sitting on the Vyasasana with folded hands and saying, I am so fortunate by mercy of my Guru Maharaj that I have so many young people here to serve. I am your servant. He did not say, I am your master. Of course, technically speaking, he is the master. And we are the servant. But even the master is thinking in the mood of that understanding, I am your servant. So we have to take this real understanding into our hearts. No matter how much advancement we make in spiritual life, the more advancement we make in spiritual life, the more our position should become humbler and humbler and humbler. And when we take that position that actually I am insignificant, and the only way I become significant is because I am serving so many wonderful Vaishnavas, because I am serving so many devotees of the Lord. And the Lord becomes so happy when you are serving His devotees. Because directly we cannot serve the Lord. We can only serve the Lord through His devotees. So this is a very important concept we have to embrace in our lives. If we want to become first-class devotees of the Lord, in the highest category, is to take the most humblest position. And when we take that, you will not become any lesser. Because the more humble you become, the more you serve everyone, what will happen? All those you are serving, automatically they will have such high regard for you. And they will respect you even more. And now there's a competition. Who is the lowest of the lowest? And this is the most wonderful competition we can get into. But if you get into the other track of mind, get the highest of the highest, and the most advanced of the advanced, then we are in trouble. Because you may get that fulfillment, no doubt, because you hear in this verse, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, even if you want that, no problem, you'll get it. Chant Hare Krishna. But the only downside of that is that you have to come back again, and again, and again, and again. And the more and more time you come back again, and again, and again, you won't be on a safe platform. Because we think that there is a statement in the Shastra which says, if we don't make it now because of some struggle we are having, not to worry. Next life I will carry on from where I left off. If you have made 50% progress in this life, next time you pop into this material world, you start from 51%. But remember, if you are having hard time now, next time round it's going to be even harder. Because the age of Kali will progress even more. The influence of age of Kali will be even stronger. And as the age of Kali becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, then the Lord's external potency, Maya Devi, becomes even more stronger now and more determined. Just like we have understanding. I want to serve Krishna. I want to be the best servant of Krishna. Why? Because I want to please Krishna. Now, in equally, Maya Devi is also, as Prabhupada explains, is a devotee of the Supreme Lord. And she has been entrusted with a particular service. Now, she will make her utmost best to do her service to please her master. So you think Maya Devi is saying, it's okay, I will take it easy. No. She wants to do her best to fulfill her duty. And her duty is to keep the living entities in illusion. So next time round, you get a very nice position. But what happens? That nice position will put you even more in illusion. The only way you will come out of that is if some great saintly person bestows some mercy upon you and then free you, then of course there is every hope that when you take a shelter of a pure Vaishnava and under his guidance, he will lead us out. Just like every morning we say a prayer to Srila Prabhupada. He opens our darkened eyes, He fills our hearts with transcendental knowledge. You are our Lord and Master. We take shelter of your lotus feet. Why? Because when we are seeking the mercy of a pure devotee, we want to take his shelter. And when we take his shelter, then of course we become fully absorbed in the service of Krishna. And then our only business is to see how I can please Krishna and his devotees. And one time, Prabhupada was asked this question by some of his disciples, and how we know when we are doing our service that Krishna is happy with our service? And Prabhupada said, if the devotees and the spiritual master is happy, Krishna is happy. It's very simple. So we have to see when we are engaging in our service in Krishna consciousness, are the devotees happy? Is the spiritual master happy? And Krishna is always going to be happy. Because this is the first indication we can get if Krishna is happy with us, is if the devotees are happy with us. And because we can personally interact with the devotees, we can know whether the devotees are happy with us or not. Krishna is very far away. That you get some indication from Krishna. Of course, one of these days, you know, you may be standing in front of here at the altar and praying to Radha Gokulananda, and Gokulananda will say, yes, I am happy with you. But it could be a rare occasion. But the Vaishnavas, you know, we serve them and they can reciprocate with us and they can show, yes, they are happy with us. And that is the best way to progress in spiritual life. And if you are doing that, then our chanting becomes more effective. Because what does Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sistastika prayers tell us? What is the secret of chanting? Srinadapi sunichana tarorakshana amani namani dena kirtane sadahari. That if you are in this humble state of mind, free from false ego, ready to offer all respect to others, without expecting anything in return, then you can. You can chant very blissfully. So this is a secret of this sloka where Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami is saying that chanting the holy name of the Lord is the most important aspect. And in the last line of the verse saying, Hare Anunama Kirtanam. Also those who are self-satisfied by the deed of transcendental knowledge, then we take shelter of chanting the holy name of the Lord, Anukirtanam. So, on that note, I will stop here. Now, is there time for me to go into Om Siddha Vamsidhar Babaji Maharaj? Because there is a lot of biography of your face. Unless you are all familiar with Om Siddhar Babaji Maharaj. What do you think, Sutapa Prabhu, since you are the commander-in-chief? Can I go on? Okay. So those who are interested in knowing about Om Siddhas Babaji Maharaj, this is a short biography of his. This is written by one of the godbrothers of Srila Prabhupada. And he's written this very nice biography of Om Siddhas Babaji. Vamsidas Babaji was a Siddha Mahatma in a disciplic succession of Narottam Das Thakur. The name of his Diksha Guru is Harilal Brajavasi, and the name of his Vaishya Guru is Ramananda Brajavasi. But it was difficult to know that he was a Siddha because he lived far away from the world of solitarity. From the world, in a solitary place on the banks of Ganges near Bhalar Ghat in Navadvip, as if he was renounced by the world. Now see, he's saying, as if he was renounced by the world. Not that he was renouncing the world. The world had renounced him. As an idiotic and worthless destitute. This is what the people had perceived him as. An idiotic and a worthless destitute. But the fact is that it was not the world that had renounced him, but he who had renounced the world as worthless. He hardly had any worldly possessions. His only possession were an old popin, karanga, and kantha. Once Sripad, Haridas Goswami asked him why he did not wear a Bihari vesa. He replied, I only live with ka, which means kopina, kanga, and kantha. I have nothing to do with ba, which means bhari vesa or outer garment. Bhari vesa brings relationship with the outer world, and the people who are bhairi ranga, that is those who are attached to outer world. My Gora has asked me not to wear bhairi vesa and mix with people of bhairi ranga. So these are the words which we may not understand, but bhairi ranga means outward dress and outward attachment. So he's saying that my Gora, of course, is addressing the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he has said not to mix with these things. Of course, we all know also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said we should be free from these material attachments. Vamsidas Babaji lived in the world of his own. His world centered around the deities of Gora Gadhara, Nitai, Radha Krishna, Gopal. For his service to these deities, he had two brass pots, some earthen pots, one plate, one glass, one small cup, pachapatra, a bell, and a conch shell, and nothing else. Baba passed his day and night in the service of the deities in the sweet talks with them. Early in the morning, he went out from his kuti to collect flowers. Then he went for bhiksha. He returned to his kuti about noon and made garlands from the flowers for each of his deities. After that, he started cutting vegetables, and he washed the vegetables a number of times. He then cleaned the rice. He examined each grain of rice. If he found any grain which the husk was not removed, he would remove it with his own hand. He did everything slowly, contemplating all the time the Leela of Radha and Krishna, Gora Nitai, and singing and talking to them. It was only late in the evening that he could cook and offer bhoga to the deities. He had no consciousness of time, morning or evening, day or night. He had no meaning for him. Almost all night he kept awake, talking and singing. Once Sripad Haridas Goswami was surprised to see him cooking for the deities at about 9 a.m. And he said to him, Baba, it would be fine if you prepare a bhoga for the deities like this in the morning every day. He replied, I do not know morning or evening. I am their father's servant. I am their father's servant. So to feed them at an appointed hour, if they want to eat like that, if they want to eat like that, let them make their own arrangement for cooking. Let Gadara cook for Gora. Nitai is Avaduta. He has no caste. He can go and eat anywhere. I do not worry about my Gopal. A milching cow comes here every day and gives him milk. He can live on that. I have to worry about Radha and Krishna. For them, I will have to cook a little rice and vegetable. If I don't, they will go to Vrindavan and do Madhukari. Vamsidas Babaji never locked the door of his kutir. He went out for bhiksha or to bathe in the Ganga. If someone asked him why he did not lock his kuti, he said, if the owner of the house himself does not keep a watch and has a soft corner for a thief, what is the use of locking the house? I do not keep the keys of the lock with me. The lock has three keys. All the three are the three boys. One is with Gora, one is with Nitai, and one is with Gadhara. After entrusting the lock and the keys to the three boys, Baba used to be free from anxiety. If while he was out, a cow entered the kutir and turned everything topsy-turvy, he would be angry with the boys. If someone has stolen something from the kutir, he would say, Gora has a soft corner for Nidhivasis, the residents of the residents of his dam. Therefore he gives things away to them. I'm after all an outsider. Once a gold necklace given by someone to Gora was stolen. He had gone out for bhiksha. On returning to his kuti, he kept scolding Gora and asking him whom he had given away the necklace for about two hours. For about two hours, towards the evening, he got a hint. He then went to the house of the thief and asked him for the necklace. The thief pushed him down the veranda of his house, and he was hurt. But he did not say anything. But how could Gora tolerate this? The thief soon died as well as all the members of his family. Once the Baba was punished by Gora Nittai for their convenience in the thief. The two brass pots in which Baba had used to cook Gora Nittai were stolen. How could this happen without the convenience of Gora and Nittai? So they were punished. Baba scolded them and did not give. Did not give the, them anything to eat that day. The punishment its effects next day. Someone came quietly and delivered one of those pots. Baba said, "This small pot is Nittai's. He will be fed. If Gora wants to eat, he must bring his pot." Baba always did what he said. He cooked and offered bhoga to Gora Nittai, drew a long face, and he kept looking at Nittai eating. In the meantime, another man came and delivered another pot. Baba then cooked in the other pot and offered Gora. When Gora also had eaten, he said, with tears in his eyes, Do I ever want to punish you? Both of you are so naughty that you must always tease me. You do not know that I have now become old and cannot bear it all. What can I do?" Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also receives the blessings of Srila Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj in Navadvip. Seeing Srila Saraswati Thakur, Srila Vamsidas Babaji in Navadvip, seeing Srila Saraswati Thakur, Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, Mahasyas would say, "Someone very close to my Gora has come to me." Vamsidas Babaji was Gaudiya Sadhu who visited Swarup Ganj during the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's mission. He was respected by Bhaktisiddhanta, and he used to see to it that Vamsidas Babaji was provided with grains and so on by Gaudiya Math Brahmacharis, whom he had sent to Swarup Ganj from Yoga Pit Mandir. One day a lady selling fish approached Vamsidas Babaji, offering him some choice from the types of cage. Somehow or other, Babaji's mind got attracted to taste the fish, but he immediately checked himself and became angry. He first of all shouted at the woman to get away. Then he was shouting, "How could this happen? How could this happen? I have surrendered my life to Radha and Krishna. I am under their protection. And this still happens? Why are they not protecting me?" He went storming into his bhajan kutir. People gathered while he was fused and fumed at these deities inside. Then he came out, bringing the deities tied by the rope, and threw them in the Ganges. He kept the end of the rope under his foot. When one man inquired, "Why are you doing this?" the Baba threw the rock at him. When this news reached the Gaudiya Math Mandir, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur called his brahmacharis together and forbade them from visiting the Baba again, save for one who would just deliver supplies. After the days, he again called them together and said, "Some of you think I have stopped you from visiting Babaji Maharaj because he is in Maya. That is not so. Why? But you are not able to understand his bhava. Stay away. Later, when one of the brahmacharis visited Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, threw a stone at him and told, you want to please me? Then you never return again. Previously, his reception had always been unpredictable. Sometimes the Baba would welcome, sometimes he would accept the gifts without saying a word. Sometimes he would sit there and stare. Sometimes he would take gifts and angrily throw them in the river. It is difficult to understand what Bhava Vamsidas Maharaj had towards Gora. It sometimes appears he was in Sakya, friendly, sometimes Vatsalya, parental, and sometimes Madhurya, like that of the Nadia Nagari, the lady of Nadia, towards Gorangi, as Nadia Nagara, an attractive citizen of Nadia. It was basically Madhurya. It is easy to understand that he sometimes exhibited Vatsalya Bhava towards him and sometimes Sakya. Because Madhurya Bhava includes all other bhavas. According to Haridas Goswami, his bhava was Nivedya Angari type because he had to compose songs of this bhava to sing. He had quoted some of these songs, two of them reproduced below. So these are these different songs. We will not get into that. And then it says, towards the end of the life of Babaji, once he went to his birthplace in Matijapur, in the district of Manya Manisina, he carried the deities with him. On the way, he neither ate nor slept or passed stool or urine. On reaching Machitapur, he stayed in a depleted temple. After that, he went to Vrindavan and Puri. In Vrindavan, he stayed on the banks of Jamuna. In Puri, on the banks of Narendra Sarovar. He never went inside the temple for darshan. During these travels, the sadhus of the Gaudiya Math rendered great service to him. Nothing is known about Baba's life as a householder, except that he was married at an early age and his son, Harchandra, was 9 or 10 years old when he renounced the world. He went to Navadip about in the year 1906. The author once tried to see him in 1932, but he could not because the door to his kutir was closed. Thought he could hear him talking to his deities. He left the world in 1944. So this is basically explaining the transcendental personality of Vamsidas Babaji. And ordinarily, in our own understanding, if you see someone act like that, we would probably think he is unfit person, he is crazy. But this is the craziness of someone who has developed very high intensity of devotional love for Radha and Krishna or Gaura Nithai. That they completely are oblivious to the material rules, regulations of the society. But in order for us to understand such great personality, we have to take shelter of someone who can explain to us their bhavas and understand, and then respect them for who they are and not what they do. Because it is very easy, again, as I said, the first offense against the holy name of the Lord is to commit an offense. And if we would see someone or come across someone like this, even today, there are great saintly persons in the holy dham of Vrindavan, or Navadvip, or Jagannath Puri, or many of the other tirthas in India. And if you see someone behaving like this, we would immediately think, what are these crazy people? And immediately become offensive against them. So it is very, very important that we actually understand to respect all living entities, especially as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, amani na, mani dena. One must not expect any respect for oneself, but one must be ready to give respect to all others. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not categorizing this category or that category, he is saying all others. So if we develop this mindset of offering respect to all, then we will pursue our devotional life without any difficulties. So of course today is the disappearance day of Vamsidas Babaji. So we should actually meditate and pray to him that we become also fully renounced of this material world and develop the same kind of attachment for Gaura Nithai. And as in a short excerpt here I read out about how he is talking to his deities And sometimes he's feeding them, sometimes he's chastising them, and he's doing all kinds of things. Of course, I don't recommend that we should go and do this to our deities, because we are not on that level. But the lordships you are worshipping, and they start talking to you and reciprocating you as a person and manifest themselves, then you are in their bhava, and then it's up to you how you relate with them. You know, I will not say how you should relate, but then you will know your own relationship with the Lord, and then you will have that wonderful interaction and exchanges with the Lord. Until that stage comes, all our business is to do Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Eva Kevalam, Alone Asteva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Katiranitya. Simply chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And that is the only business we should have. And once we finish chanting, then we should then do our best to serve Krishna, to please Krishna. And if we do that, we will become very happy and successful in our lives. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So I'll stop here. Unfortunately, don't have any time for any comments or any questions. But if you have, discuss amongst yourself, or you can approach me and ask me if you want any questions. I'm sure I can try and answer your question. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Ho. Hare Hare Hare.